weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home. Cambridge
105. The Gadget Guide.
So it's a Friday, it's 5:32 now, and we're going to be talking Christmas gadgets, or Christmas wanted gadgets.
Yes, yeah, the most wanted gadgets of the year.
Rob and Lawrence are here, Rose is around as well, so I might bring her in for the occasional view on this, because it might be fun. So, what do you have lined up?
Well, we're going to have a look back at some of our favourite gadgets, really, of 2015, and a little bit beyond before as well. So what would we get if... We've kind of divided it into two categories. Those if money was no object at all, and those with a maximum budget of £100 per gadget. So we're both
or thereabouts.
Yeah, I'm pushing that a little bit on one side. A bit of cheeky exchange rate dealing going on. So we'll come on to that in a moment. But first of all, a bit of tech news. A few stories in the news this week. Hoverboards are making a little bit of a return to the news, aren't they?
Yeah, they're one of the hottest gadgets of the year, and they've made the news with all sorts of issues around the charging devices blowing up, literally.
Quite literally the hottest gadgets of the year.
I know that BBC's Watchdog had quite a piece on them and said, be careful and take care. Certainly make sure you buy them from reputable sellers, but they've had ones blow up that were sold by major high street retailers that you wouldn't expect to sell problem products. But the other problem is take care if you actually have one and be careful using it.
That's definitely
so
true.
The story that we came across actually is a teenager was killed yesterday riding his hoverboard in London. And
he was badly injured. Now killed, you
killed.
Think? Died. Okay.
Yes. Managed to end up in front of a bus.
Oh, it's not good. Things are very dangerous. So.
And also not legal for use on the roads.
No.
Yeah, do remember
or
if you do get
or
one.
Even the pavement, yes.
Yeah, you basically can't use it in a public space. So it's, yeah, if you want to go zooming around your office when maybe you've got some slightly softer furnishings around, then that's one thing. But do watch out. Well, you're not really allowed to take them outdoors.
Yep, so be careful of gadgets.
Okay, so in software news, this is an interesting one in the mobile phone world, because of course the two big players really in the smartphone world are Apple with their iPhones and iPads, and Google with Android, and that's manufactured by several of the big players.
Microsoft.
You've got Microsoft. I'm not going to call them a big player, not yet. They want to be, but they're not really there. But Mozilla, they of the Firefox web browser, which of course was very, very popular a few years ago, not quite such a big deal nowadays, well, still got plenty of fans out there. They were giving it a go with their Firefox OS mobile phones, weren't they?
Yep, they were going to be the next mobile phone that you'd want. And they've given up.
Yeah, and that in a way it's a real shame, because they had quite a, from a technology point of view, quite a pure sort of aspiration there. They were basically, the phone was a web browser. And it was a web browser with all the little bits added on that you needed to be able to do things like make phone calls and stuff. But it was basically, it was a web browser. And it meant you could get any of these phones made by anyone, running anything, and they would all behave the same.
Yep.
And they just couldn't do it. It's a very, very hard market for them to break into. Obviously, they are a not-for-profit. They've not got the resources behind them that Google have, that Apple have. And they just couldn't make it. Which
anyway,
is a little bit sad.
You found something about Microsoft.
That's true, yes. They've been in the news, but all the wrong kinds of Christmas presents. We do sort of go on about this quite often on the Gadget Guide, and that's that the latest round of Microsoft updates are out. It happens every month, but this month, Microsoft Office has a particularly tasty set of bugs fixed in it, including some security problems that are being actively attacked.
Yep.
And it's basically, if you open an Office document or even preview an email in certain versions of Outlook, which has been sent by someone malicious, that can actually, if they're very, very cunning about it, that can actually run code on your computer without you knowing about it.
No, so, just a couple of updates on the iPhone.
Yeah.
During the week, and I think there's a slight update coming up to the Apple computer operating system as well in the next couple of days, if that's not already around.
The updates are all worth doing. Word of caution, though, I would wait one day longer on average. Certainly with Microsoft, the Office updates they released this month, there was a bug in one of the updates that broke Outlook.
Useful.
Yes. They withdrew it within 12 hours.
Yeah.
But that didn't mean anyone who did the updates early had a problem. Fortunately, when they withdrew it, it was uninstalled. So you had to run updates again, which then cleaned up and fixed the problem. Some people had to manually uninstall this.
I mean, it's always a trade-off, really, because... You know, at the same time as that, which is, you know, if you install them as soon as they're out, then you risk breaking things because of dodgy updates. At the same time, I was watching some of the security community on Twitter who, within an hour of this update being published, were already reverse engineering the update. They were taking it apart, finding out what the underlying problem was, and actively exploiting the problem that it fixed. So in, you know, this was a particularly nasty one that literally within hours of it being announced, it was being actively exploited in the world. So don't ignore those updates.
No, I'd say they come out on the second Tuesday of every month. I'd say wait until the second Wednesday of the month.
Generally, yeah.
Till the evening. Run them then, because by that point, Microsoft will have fixed anything that was broken the first time round, and you're close enough then to be pretty safe.
And it's true. If you're heading home for Christmas, as so many people do, as well as the Christmas presents, maybe just pop onto all of the family computers as well, and make sure all the Windows updates are applied.
As well as Java, Flash, your browser updates.
That's true. Flash had some nasty ones.
And if you're running
a
Mac or a Linux machine, do the updates on those as well.
Yep, no one's exempt nowadays. So there we go. We'll take some travel and some music quickly, but then we'll be back and talking about the most desirable gadgets of 2015, maybe a couple of ideas for Christmas as well.
The Gadget Guide.
And welcome back to the Gadget Guide. I'm not sure what to do with that comment, Julian. There we go. So
he's probably over £500, I suspect.
Yes. So the challenge I set you to, and I'm participating as well, was to come up with three gadgets with no monetary budget limit. So whatever you desire, no budget. And two more under £100 or around £100.
Okay, so I've gone just sneakily over on one, but then way under on my other. So I'm claiming that they average out, but I'm going to start off big with my first unlimited budget one, which is the Tesla Model S. This is the electric sports car. Of course, since there's no budgetary limit, go for the top of the range P85D model.
How much?
Oh, I think it comes in by the time you add all of the toys on, I think it comes in about sort of £60,000 to £80,000. If you put everything on there, and you really can sort of add
it. So, how many are in your office car park so far?
Most of the time, none. Although we do have an occasional visiting one.
Staff member?
I think board member.
And you haven't managed to cop a drive yet?
Not yet, but apparently there is going to be a Tesla showroom opening in Cambridge next year.
Yes.
So, you know, I think their list of test drives...
There is possibly money in Cambridge.
Yeah. the technology in it is just incredible. And the wonderfully named ludicrous mode is 2.8 seconds 0-6. And it's just silly. It's just silly.
It glues you back into the seat, doesn't it? Yes.
It's something like 760 brake horsepower between the four wheels. It's just...
You see, I have much more modest taste, I feel. I'm for an expensive item, I noticed that Ford have got a new electric car coming out. In fact, they're going to be having 13 battery-powered models by 2020.
Nice.
Okay. With an electric Ford Focus going into production late next year.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't mind one of them.
I mean, I started looking at electric cars as well for tonight, and came across the fact that Porsche are planning an electric car.
Oh, that's
this is their Mission E. It's still a concept car, unfortunately. They showed it off this year, and they reckon they are going to give Tesla a run for their money.
See, I think that's
which
a
I
good
think
thing.
Is fantastic, because I think it's going to help push the prices down.
Yes, I'm one of my on Julian's end of the spectrum. One of my work colleagues has got the BMW i3. The electric car, and that I have to say is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And you get in it and it's absolutely silent, and it's the performance is nothing on the Tesla, but neither's the cost.
Yeah.
And that does his commute to and from work purely on electric. It's got the range extender, or as the rest of us know it, engine. that you can put a bit of. It is true. They say, oh no, it doesn't have an engine. It's got a generator, a range extender. No, it is an engine. But that means that you can. If you want to do the occasional journey further than the range of the vehicle, you can just put a few plugs of petrol in.
I mean, the other thing I looked at is Mitsubishi have got a new SUV out, which is hybrid as well. And, you know, hybrid SUVs are notorious for being gas hungry or diesel hungry. This actually, with the electric motors, gets it back into, you know, respectable mileage per gallon. You know, you're certainly talking 70 to 80 miles to gallon for an SUV, which is actually very, very good when you think about it.
It is,
for that sort of size vehicle.
You could just not have an SUV, let's face it.
You could, yes. So that's electric cars. So, you know, I decided to skip the electric car thing. And went a little bit lower budget, the Microsoft Surface Book. We talked about this.
So this is their new sort of very, very thin, lightweight laptop, isn't
it? Microsoft's answer to, well, it's Microsoft's first laptop, effectively.
Because there's the iPad for giants, isn't there, as well?
Oh, the iPad Pro.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yes.
If you have a big, you know, if you've sort of got a Jack and the Beanstalk style giant.
Yeah. Or graphic designers.
You want to buy for Christmas.
So the Surface Book is launched in the US, due in the UK April, unfortunately, a bit of a delay there.
Ah, that's okay. You can hop on a plane to New York and come back again before Christmas.
We do have a different keyboard layout to the Americans.
That is true.
And I want a UK keyboard layout, if anything. If I'm going to spend over £2,000, yes, they're not cheap. I want a UK keyboard. So, yeah, I'm going to wait for them to arrive here, have a look at them, and see if those are going to be worthwhile.
Now, I think... I'm going to wonder what the Surface Book's going to be like, because that's the sort of the logical follow-on from brother of the things like the Surface Pro 4, which is Microsoft's slightly kind of professional tablet, I guess, is the best way of describing it. It's got the guts of a laptop, but in the form factor of a slightly thick tablet.
Yeah.
My colleagues has just got one from work, and if you look at the spec sheet, it's very good. And is very good. It's very, very useful if you're in a lot of meetings taking notes and the like. But there's a lot of glitches they haven't quite sorted out. So, for example, if you want to connect it up to the dock with a couple of external monitors, it doesn't always play nicely in the out.
Now, is that their new dock?
You have to use VGA cables instead of DVI ones. And, yeah, sometimes they don't come on when you plug it in. And
that's not helpful.
No, it's not. And Microsoft support, to be fair, are being very useful about this. You know, they are coming up with known solutions, known workarounds. But you just have to wonder if they maybe shipped it just a few weeks too early.
Why don't they check them? Or are they just desperately keen to get the supplies in before Christmas?
Yeah. Possibly.
And it's the amount of stuff you need to check. So, anyway, have you thought of anything yet, Julian?
I'm on the Nest heating system,
right?
You see, because... Well, I quite like that. For example, you know, this week I've been in and out like anything. Yeah. And at the moment, when I get into the house, it's cold. And when I leave it, it's warm. That's not particularly
that's the
energy.
Opposite you are.
It's not what I want. And B, I don't think it's particularly energy efficient either. So the concept of having a heating system that learns what I do and even the erratic nature of me.
You can whip out your phone and turn your heating on.
Well, yes, you can turn. The idea of arriving back from London at Cambridge Station, turning on my heating, cycling home, and it having, you know, some semblance of warmth by the time I arrive. Sounds great.
And it is. And all of that home automation stuff is. So at the moment, I'm just going to write that. That's my Christmas tree lights at home turned off. So if anyone's wandering around Cottenham, then let's turn them back on. There you go. If you're wandering around Cottenham, you've just seen the Christmas tree turn off and on. But it is. It's wonderful. And it's not very expensive either. So I'll jump in with my first £100, or less than £100 one, kind of. I'm claiming here that it's $150, which converts to less than £100.
Well, it was £120 at launch, so
yeah,
you might get away with that.
Most of the UK retailers seem to be around the £130 mark. So again, pop over to New York; it'll be fine. Is the Sphero BB-8 piece, of course, Star Wars?
You've seen mine, haven't you?
I've not. I didn't know you had one.
I do.
Oh, you should have bought it in.
I bought it in the US.
No, I never never think we'd get Spiro BB-8 jealousy on this show. That's for sure.
I will bring the droid to the waffle tonight.
Okay.
And you can play with... Oh, yes, Dom was on that waffle when I brought it in.
Okay, yes. Because Star Wars is out. It's going to be big. I'm going in a couple of weeks' time to go and see it. But, we had to get a Star Wars-themed gadget in there.
Right, I'll be popping home before the waffle for that.
Good.
My under £100 one is the Remix Mini. Now, we haven't talked about this one on the Gadget Guide. It was a Kickstarter, and it's claiming to be the world's first true Android PC.
Oh, interesting.
So they've come up with their own fork of Android operating system but designed to run with a keyboard and mouse and a non-touchscreen interface. And it's a lovely little box, 10 watts of power draw, so very low power, but does all the things that you'd probably want from most average computing environments. You know, you can run everything that you run on an Android device, tablet or phone, like your browsers, your messaging and so on, but in a computer form factor. So it's a great little device. I'll bring that in for you to see.
Ah, very good.
So yeah, those are around £70.
Okay, that's pretty good. Jumping up to the higher end of the spectrum, I'm going to counter your Surface Book with one of Dell's new offerings. This is their new 2015 XPS 13 laptop.
Now you see, I'm sort of divided on that versus the Surface Book at the moment.
Oh, this does look very nice because it's their new range, and they've I have to say, give them some credit. Dell have come up with some really good laptops in the last couple of years.
There's one advantage. I've actually touched one of those versus I haven't touched a Surface Book yet.
And they are nice. Yeah, they're not too expensive. They're a 13.3-inch screen, and the laptop is not any bigger than that.
I don't know. By the time you've spec'd it with the spec I want, it's £1,500.
Ah, well, there you go. Still, but seriously,
it's cheaper than the Surface.
Compare that to a MacBook.
Yes.
Or your MacBook Air or something like that, and you're still coming in ahead.
Yeah.
But they start from £850.
Yeah.
And that's for a decent processor.
That's an i5 with 128 gigs storage.
Of solid-state disk. Yeah, if you go a little bit more...
And that's the non-touch, I think.
That's correct, yeah. If you put another £100 on it, you get 8 gigs of RAM and 256 gigs of storage.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it looks beautiful.
I think
beautiful.
It's only about £300 more for the touch version. And the touch interface on it is very nice and gives you the bezel-less display. So basically, they've managed to extend the screen right to the edges of your laptop. If you look at your average laptop, you've got an inch to an inch.
The black border.
Half an inch to an inch of border. They've done away with that.
Yeah,
and it looks lovely.
It really does, and the screen resolution, especially on that slightly more expensive model, is insane. It's 3K screen, effectively. It's not quite 4K, but frankly, it's a 13-inch screen. You don't need 4K. But it's an incredible screen, and also they've done a really nice job with the dock. Basically, you have one cable that you plug in, USB-C. It's the same standard that Apple are going down with the new MacBooks. One cable does your charging, your USB, your three external monitors,
nice.
In fact, your network connection, your USB ports. So you get home, you plug one cable in, and it's good.
Can I throw something in at the cheap end of the spectrum?
Yes.
I think under £100 you mentioned, I think you could possibly get these for maybe even under £10. Depends what you want. It's a Bluetooth beanie hat.
A Bluetooth hat?
No, a Bluetooth beanie hat, specifically.
Okay. Is there earphones in it or something?
Well, yeah, that's the idea. So
we did talk about those a couple of weeks ago.
You wear the beanie hat, and it's got the headphones in, and it links to your iDevice, your Android device, over Bluetooth, and you can happily cycle around Cambridge, perhaps with a cycle helmet over the top as well. And
oblivious to all traffic.
Oblivious to all traffic.
Lovely. Maybe not, Julian.
Well, maybe not.
But when you're walking.
Walking around the back.
Certainly
that's cycling. a much better idea.
Well, my second big budget item, I don't think we can get a chance for three, but my second big budget was something 4K. You know, we talked about 4K TV being the next big thing. I thought, if you're going to go 4K, might as well go really big and go projector. So Sony have just released their 4K 3D capable projector.
Oh, very nice.
1700 lumens.
Nice. So that's
very
that's pretty,
bright.
Pretty good for home cinema, yeah.
HDCP 2.2, 6,000 hour lamp life. It's about £8,800.
You know, that is not as bad as I thought you were going to say.
Not as bad as, yes. Yes, you know, there you can make hundreds of inches type size screens. And, you know, it's got all the nice tech in it. 4K at full signals, 60 frame a second. So, you know, that's the thing to look at for the second big ticket item.
Very nice.
What's your second £100?
So I'm going to come in way under, and I had to do this because we've talked about them in the past on the Gadget Guys and on Cambridge 105. It's a Raspberry Pi.
Which one? Since there's so many to choose from
there,
now.
There is. I'm going to go for the two, because the zero is the one that's been in the news recently, the £4 one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to blow the budget a little bit and go up to the £30 Raspberry Pi 2, because it's responsible almost single-handedly for so much excitement about electronics and building stuff and computers and actually getting your hands dirty and understanding what's going on in the community. It's almost single-handedly kind of driven the technology industry in the next 10 years, I think.
I think we've run out of time for gadgets, but the next show in January, yep, we'll be doing sound bars by special request of various presenters on 105.